there's a saying on our money, and it says, "In God we trust." It's something that we all can easily say. It's something that we would all say without hesitancy. In God we trust. And certainly we mean that we do trust God. It means that we have our faith in Him. He is who we look to when we run into the challenges of life. But let's ask a deeper question. How much do we worry? How much do we let things bother us in this life? We sang a song just a minute ago, number 63. And the words to that song are so beautiful if we listen to them. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear because we did not carry everything to God in prayer. And then, are we weak and heavy laden, troubled with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And that is something that we need to do. That word really, that song really just personifies what we do so many times. We try to bear our own burdens. Yes, we say we trust in God. Yes, we say it, we put it in words, but sometimes in our lives, our own emotions, our own worry, the burden of our heart speaks out clearly that we're not letting Him have everything. And so I hope we can talk today about that word, about trust. And I want us to look at an acronym, T-R-U-S-T. And I want us to look at several small little components that I think that if we can look at these things, that they can help us to see a big picture of who God is, and then help us also to see some things about ourselves that we need to do to help us trust in God more. So we're going to look at T-R-U-S-T. And so our first T, and this is my list, certainly you might come up with your own words, but our first T is that we've got to be thankful. We have to realize the things that God has already done for us. I've got several verses I'd like for us to read. You can follow along. I want to read these fairly quickly. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10. This passage says something that we can certainly understand. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which He hath given thee. When you're full, when you've received the things that you need, when you have received food, be thankful. Bless God for what He has done for you. In the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 15 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Okay, it's an easy verse to read. And we can identify with giving thanks in good times, but it says in everything. In all times. Whether it's a great time, certainly we can be thankful in that. If it's a time that's mediocre, give thanks then, and then in the critical phases of our life, give thanks. Same idea is in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, for all things. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Let's look at an example of someone who is thankful in one of these critical times. We know the story of Job and what happened to him. We know how, in just a few moments of time, he received word that he lost all of his possessions. The sheep were taken. His house was destroyed by fire. His family was killed. Listen to what he said. Job 1 and verse 21. "And said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." He still praises God even during that time, even during that critical time of his life. Okay. Yeah. Let's just apply all this to our life. really, to be thankful means that we've got to look at everything He has done for us. We could probably all pick out in our lives, maybe some of our young people can at this point, but those of us who have several years of living under our belt can look in our life and see things in our life that there's no question that it was God's hand that helped us through that situation. No question. We can see those things in our lives. And I can name all four or five. I don't need to. All of you know there are things in this life that happen, and there is no question God is involved in it. You've got to be thankful for those. We cannot let those blessings escape our mind whenever we're in the critical times of our life. I want us to just look quickly at something that Paul was thankful for, just to give you an example of how we've got to be thankful for big things and small things. In several of Paul's letters, he begins his letters by saying he was thankful for the brothers and sisters in other places. Just listen to these verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2. He says, "We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers." 2 Thessalonians 2 and 13 says, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." And then 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 4 says, "I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ." Paul is saying to several different groups of people, "I am thankful for you." Now, if he was thankful for other people, then we should be also. Because look at what a difference those people made in his life. Yes, Paul worked a lot in his life, but don't you think that the encouragement went two ways? He was an encouragement to so many, and he's an encouragement to me and to us today. Certainly they were an encouragement to him to continue in his work, and he was thankful for that. We've got to be thankful for everything that happens to us in our lives. If we're going to trust in God, we cannot let thankfulness escape us. Okay, let's take a few minutes and look at the big picture of God. And let's talk about who it is that we are living to serve. Our R, friends, T-R, our R is respect. I think we've got to have respect for the Creator of this universe. Listen to a couple of verses, or a few verses. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 22 says, "Hear ye not me, saith the Lord, will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bounds of the sea by a perpetual decree, that it cannot pass it? And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail? Though they roar, they cannot pass over it." God is saying, "I made this world. And this mighty ocean, that we know," they didn't realize it at that point in time, "but we know it's three-fourths of our planet." God said, "I made that beach. And that beach holds that ocean where it's supposed to be." Now we can walk out there and we can pick up the sand and it's loose and it seems like it would be washed away. But God made it by a perpetual decree, he said, that it will hold this ocean where I want it to stay. "I made this," he says. In Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 12, this verse says, "The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them." Oh, now, when we start thinking about our bodies, that is a truly amazing piece of work that God did. The fact, you know, we take so much for granted. We take it for granted. Everybody takes it for granted. There's a lot of work I'm in. I work with people that realize how special it is to have your help. And there's so many people that come in and say, "You know, I just didn't realize how healthy I was, how good I had it till my back started hurting and switched quit." And it's really gratifying when we can help them get better, and they're very thankful for that. But just think about how good it is that our hands work the way they do. Now, we take it for granted that we've got fingers and we can do everything with them. That's just the way we are. We forget about it. But we have got a system of pulleys in our fingers that allow us incredible mobility of our fingers so that we can play an instrument, We can make a fist, and we can hold a hammer, and we can pound on something to make it turn into a machine. It's so delicate we could pick up an egg and not break it. And it's so strong we could throw a baseball 100 miles an hour, some individuals can. It's amazing what that hand will do. The foot's more amazing than that. You know how flexible our feet can be? And yet, when they hit the ground, they become so rigid that it's a foundation that I can stand on one foot and not fall down. And yet I can take my foot and shake it all around in different places, in different directions. The mechanics that God made in our joints are truly amazing, and that doesn't even begin to scratch the surface of how complicated our brain is. Now, God made this. He made this whole world. He made everything in it. It was His creation. So many verses talk about respect, and they use the word fear. Here's another one, Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. To fear God, to realize everything that He made and how mighty He is and how powerful He is. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God and to walk in all His ways and to love Him and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul? God says, I require that you respect me for who I am and for how powerful I am. Isaiah chapter 15, verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of the Lord his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and say upon his God. All right. What I hope that you see from this letter R is that God made everything. He made everything around us. And we can't forget that. Now, when we want to trust, and we want to have deeper trust, I believe we've got to be thankful for what He's done, and we've got to realize the full extent of what He has done for us. The full extent of His creation and how magnificent we are. Now, our use for understanding is understanding. And I feel like we've got to deepen our appreciation for God and how powerful He is. And that's why I wanted two of these words, two of these letters to help us with that. We've got to realize that God's understanding is a lot more than ours. It's not just He created everything, He understands everything. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Okay. Now let's just take in the big picture of this. He made it all, didn't He? He created everything. We've got to realize that when He created the human race, He put in us certain traits. And He knew that as the race moved through time, that there would be certain genetic factors that everybody had. And certain genetic factors that certain groups had. For instance, God knew that there would be people who would develop osteoporosis. He built that into us. He built into us the ability for certain cells to mutate and form cancer. He did. He knew that was going to happen. He knew that there would be all types of medical problems, and He built that into us. All right, now that's just the medical side. He also built us with different kinds of emotions. And God knew that there would be certain individuals that would struggle with depression all of their lives and all of the disorders that can go with emotional imbalances. God knew that those things would be there. He understands that that is part of our society. Now, that's just some extremes. He also knew that people would fall into sin and he knew that they would fall away from him, and that there would be patterns that would develop, and there would be generation after generation after generation in just cycles of sin, such that entire communities would be filled with sin and drugs and all of the types of things that we see in different parts of our country and our world and our county, where you know that there's certain areas where if a child is born in that area, they almost don't stand a chance. Because they don't have a mother, and they don't have a father figure, and they don't have anybody that's raising them, and so the streets are raising them, and they don't stand a chance. God knew that that was a possibility, and he knew that that was probably going to be a reality if he didn't know it for fact. Because he built it that way. Now, we got to realize that he knew all of that. He understands all of that, and that's why he gave us a pattern. He gave us a pattern, and that's why God's pattern works, because he knows how we were built. He knows that children will thrive best in a home with their parents, both of them. And that's why God hates divorce. He knows that if we as a church can strengthen the family, that we will strengthen the church. He knows that there is the ability of us as brothers and sisters to strengthen each other so that we can perpetuate this church and the goodness that we all stand for. Isaiah 40 and verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. His understanding is so far beyond anything we can comprehend. Listen to this verse. Daniel chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. Listen close. This is beautiful. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. God's understanding is so big. All the things we've talked about so far, but what is it that we're scared of when we're kids? We're scared of the dark. And why is that? Because we don't know what's in the dark. And there might be something bad, or there might not be anything in the dark at all. But as adults, we learn to not be scared of the dark, but we're still scared of not knowing what's in the future. We're still scared of not knowing what's going to happen. And we still worry about that. This verse says, God reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness. All right. Let's remember, we want to talk about trust. This is who we're trusting in. We're not trusting in something that we shouldn't trust in. We're not trusting in somebody that doesn't really know anything. We're not even talking today about putting our trust in a position that, for all the positions are very educated and know a lot of things, there's still a lot they don't know. And they'll be the first to tell you that. We're talking about trusting in God. We're talking about trusting in the creator of the world, the creator of the universe, the creator of the human race, the God that understands everything, the God that knows all about human sorrow and emotions because he made it. The God that not only knows that, but knows our life circumstances, and the God that knows the things that we don't know that scare us. That's who we're talking about trusting in. Now, here's a beautiful verse that helps us, I hope. Matthew 6 and verse 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them. Alright, that's the intro. Here's the key part. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Right? He knows what's in the darkness. He knows what the things that we don't know. He knows what we need even before we would ask. Now, isn't that beautiful? Key, we've got to be thankful. R and E go together. We've got to respect God for how powerful he is. We've got to have some realization of his understanding. That's our U. Now let's turn and look at ourselves. X, T-R-U-S. If God knows all those things, if He knows what's in the darkness, if He knows what we need even before we would ask, then I think our S needs to be, we've got to be selfless. Not selfish, but selfless, meaning we've got to accept that what He brings to us is somehow what we need. Because He's going to do that for us. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for He hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. I'll never leave you. I'm always with you. Be content with what you have. Philippians 4:11-12. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. And I know how to be abased. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. And everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Paul is telling us, I know how to be completely content in whatever environment I'm in. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Now, I wanted to focus on contentment because so many times we want certain things. And we don't feel like God is giving us those things. And what I think the answer is we've got to realize that the things that we have is enough. We've got to wait for God to bring us whatever it is that He's going to give us. We've got to realize that He knows what we need, and we've just got to be content with whatever it is that He brings us. That's a hard thing to do sometimes. But if we're going to trust, then that is part of it. We've got to be selfless, meaning whatever He brings us is okay. But He knows what we need anyway. Continue on with this thought just briefly. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 25. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. And we know that passage well. And what it's saying there is if you go out and you seek your own, if you're looking for the things that you think are going to make you happy, what you're going to find is there is no happiness in it at all. I don't know if you caught it or not. This morning we had the television on while we were going through the house, and there was a program on called The Good Life. And it was about all these people that had all this money. There was a little piece on the Rockefellers, and there was a particular person out in Silicon Valley that had sold three companies. And one sold for about $4 billion, one sold for $100 billion, and another for $40 billion. And he had all this money. And they were all talking about how there is no happiness in money. None. But happiness is in other things. Happiness is in spending time with your family. And so many people, they talked about how so many people wanted to play the lottery because they thought that would bring them great happiness. They were seeking their own. But for the people that had actually won the lottery, they showed how many of them had lost it all and were miserable. We can understand that. If we're seeking for the things that we think would make us happy, we won't find it and we won't find happiness. But friends, if we would give up those things in the realization that they won't bring happiness, give them up and seek God, then we'll find contentment, we will find happiness, we will pass that on to our family, and in the end we will find heaven. And let's not forget the verse that we talked about just a minute ago, Matthew 6 and 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. Alright, so we've got to be thankful for everything that He's done for us if we're going to trust. We've got to have respect for how strong He is and how powerful He is. realize His understanding is so deep that He really knows what we need anyway. And we've just got to get into that and say, okay, you know all those things. You know what we need. Just bring them to me. And then our final T, friends, is we've got to wait on God's timing. And we've got to believe in God's timing. One of my favorite verses in the whole Bible is in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. Isaiah 40 and verse 31 says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint." We've got to trust His timing. Even when we don't understand it. We've got to trust His timing. Psalms 27:14. "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Sometimes in life there are things that we think should happen. Things that we want to happen. Things that we want to see happen. And sometimes it takes years and years for those things to come to pass. And in the meantime, we have to learn to be patient. We've got to wait on God's timing. Sometimes in life things happen at times that we wouldn't want them to. Sometimes things happen and we don't understand why did that happen then? Untimely things. And we don't understand those things. Waiting on the Lord, it seems funny to say the word wait when it's something that's happened in the past. I always draw references from the work I'm in. Many times I work with people that are in pain that does not go away. Pain, sometimes emotional pain, sometimes physical pain, many times both. Pain that doesn't go away. And they'll ask me, why? Will this ever get better? I've learned not to say much, except to try to comfort them. And I usually will tell them, especially if I pick up in their conversation that these folks are religious, or if they're not, I'll throw this out too sometimes. I say, you know, sometimes things happen to us to remind us that this world is not our home. This world is not where we will find all of our peace. This world is not where we will find all of the joy that God has in store for us. This world is not our home. So sometimes, friends, when things have happened and we don't understand, waiting on the Lord means having patience and waiting perhaps on a reunion. Waiting perhaps for understanding in the future. Waiting perhaps on time to help us heal. Romans chapter 8 gives us great hope. I want us to read a few verses there. Romans chapter 8, verses 24 through 27, and we're going to build up to a verse that I know you know we're going to use. This passage begins and it says, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." Here's where it starts to get beautiful. Listen closely. "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Okay. It's beautiful because it says we don't know what we should pray for. Why? Because it's in the darkness. God has told us, when we looked at it earlier, He knows what we need even before we ask for it. Friends, sometimes we don't even know what we need. But He knows it. And this passage is telling us, when we don't know what to pray for, the Spirit is praying for us. The Spirit is looking into our heart. The Spirit is praying for us in words that can't be uttered, things that we can't understand. And God knows the things that we need. He is taking care of us even when we don't know what we need. So if we know all of that, then it's easy to trust in His timing, isn't it? It's easy to believe that if all of that's going on behind the scenes that we don't even know about, then it's easier to believe that He can take care of us. And that He is taking care of us, even when we don't understand. See, thanks. We've got to remember all the things we're thankful for. Count your blessings. We've got to count them every single day. We've got to see what He has done for us. R, respect. We've got to respect Him because He made this place. He created this place. He gave us this world. He gave us the life that we have. You, understanding, God's understanding. It's more than we can fathom. He knows our circumstances. He knows what's in the darkness. S, selfless. We've got to accept what He's going to give us. We've got to be content with the things that He's done for us. And we've got to almost give up hoping for special things and just wait on God to bring us the things that He would bring us, knowing that He's going to take care of us. T, timing. God's timing. Sometimes we don't understand it, but we've got to believe in it. We've got to believe that in spite of all the things going on that just seem like they're so complex, God understands that He's taking care of us during that. We've got to have patience and wait on Him. Let's conclude with this verse. The very next verse in the passage we are reading, Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. And if there's anything that can help us and bring us hope and allow us to trust, it's that verse right there. But I hope, friends, that by looking at all these different elements, that our trust can be deepened, that we can see that God truly is alive and at work in our lives, that our faith can be greater. Friends, this world's not our home. Let's trust in a God who's got the home prepared for us that we want to receive. Let's trust in Him in the big things in our life. Let's trust in Him in the small, everyday worries in our life. And let's truly live and be joyous. Jesus came, said that I came that you should have life and that you should have it abundantly. We should be people who are happy, people who are joyous, because we've got great hope. And we've got that hope because we can trust that there's a better place for us. These are our thoughts today. Where do we stand today? Are we trusting in God? Can we trust in His promises? If sin separates us from God because we've never rendered obedience to Him through the gospel call, for instance, we can't trust in it. We're outside of His arms. We're outside of His ark of safety. We can enter into that through baptism by confessing belief in Jesus Christ, by repenting of our sins, by being baptized, our sins can be forgiven, and we can rise in newness of life and have great hope to begin to trust in God that He's going to take care of us and provide for us. If during our life of Christianity we have fallen away and sin has trapped us, perhaps, friends, we haven't given God the trust that we should, we have opportunity also that we could ask others to pray for us, that our sins would be forgiven, that we would be strengthened. If either case, then please let me know as together we stand and as we stand.